Good morning. Especially to you moms and grandmas. You know, today we're here to celebrate Christ's resurrection and his new life like we do every single Sunday. But this Sunday, we also want to honor mothers. And that's because our culture has decided that we should have a special day for mothers, which I think is a great idea. Now, sometimes for Mother's Day, what I'll do is I will stop whatever series I'm in and give a special message just to do with mothers. Other times, I don't stop at all, and I just plow ahead with what I'm doing. Now, several weeks ago, we started this new series, which I entitled Biggest Losers in the Bible. Biggest Losers in the Bible. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to pick out the worst mother and the worst grandmother I can possibly think of. And so that's what I'm doing today. I'm going to pick out a lady that perhaps many of you, when Sean earlier said her name, don't even have a clue who this person is. However, if I told you who her mother was, I think you're well aware of her mother. Her mother's Jezebel. This is Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah. And so we're going to be talking about a very infamous mother's daughter, Athaliah. And afterwards, I think you're going to realize, okay, Jezebel may have been the wicked witch of the East, but you know what? Athaliah was the wicked witch of the West. And she actually outshines her mother in the evil that she does, as hard as that is to believe. Athaliah, like her mother, was a strong-willed woman, very ambitious. She had an enormous influence on the southern kingdom of Judah. In fact, she is the only woman in all of Israelite history who will be the sole ruler in Israel. I mean, no other woman is a queen who has total control of all the policies and the military and everything. She's the only one. Athaliah, the daughter of Jezebel. This is what she was all about. A controlling queen with an evil agenda. That's Athaliah. A controlling queen with an evil agenda. She was a wife who incited her husband to do evil. She was a mother who counseled her son, her children, to do evil. And then to cap it off, she was a grandmother who killed her way to the throne. Now, you wives, you mothers, and you grandmothers, this message, as you hear it, should encourage you not to do anything that even comes close to what Athaliah does or how she handles herself as a wife, as a mother, as a grandmother. And those of you who have, all of you have mothers, those of you who out there with wives... And mothers who are alive and grandmothers who are alive, this should make you appreciate your mothers and your grandmothers and your wives if she's not like Athaliah. Because basically, Athaliah is a lot like Hillary Clinton. And the reason I say is because this, everybody around her dies. I'm serious. This is a woman you don't want to be around if you're related at all. Okay? So, first of all, we're going to look at how not to influence your husband, how not to counsel your children, and then finally, how not to be a nana, how not to be a granny to your grandchildren. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this morning, and we are so grateful for this time that we can have together. We're grateful especially today for our mothers and grandmothers. And we're grateful for Jesus Christ who made mothers the way he did and who made grandmothers to be the way they are. We just pray that as we look at your word now that we would be instructed and especially encouraged as we see the type of mother and grandmother that we did not have and that we appreciate the ones we do. In Christ's name, amen. Now, first of all, just to give you a little idea about Athaliah, when she lived, which is very important. You have the kingdom that has split apart after Solomon's reign. And you have the North and the South. In the North, it's an evil regime year after year after year. You only have evil kings. In the Southern Kingdom of Judah, about half your kings are good and about half your kings are bad. Now, at this time, there's a lot of problems with the Arameans up in Syria. And that's one of the reasons there's a real impetus to bring about unity, because a united Israel, North and South, is a lot more potent and able to deal with outside intruding enemies than if you're separated and apart. So that's one reason. And the other reason is just the same thing in North and South Korea. I mean, the Korean people would love to come together into one nation. And the North and the South, there's always that idea. I mean, they have these border skirmishes and little civil wars that will break out. But by and large, at different times, there's this huge desire to pull together. Now, Jehoshaphat is described as a good king. In fact, he's one of the top good kings in the South. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father David's earlier days. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father, and all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat, and he had great riches and honor, and he allied himself by marriage with Ahab. All right? Jehoshaphat personally was a very godly king. Covenantally, he was stupid. On several occasions, he gets into these agreements, these pacts with northern kings, and every time he does, he ends up losing really badly. You have to understand, Ahab was one of the worst kings in the north. If we look at what it says in 1 Kings 21:25, surely there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, incited him. She brought in Baal worship. She was from Tyre. Baal worship was huge there. Now, already the north was religiously all messed up with idolatrous calf worship, but Baal worship was a step even lower because it involved child sacrifice. She's the one that brought that into the land. She basically makes a convert of her husband, Ahab. So he goes from bad to worse. And then, of course, one episode that gives you an idea of how she dominated and controlled things is when one day Ahab looks out and he realizes, you know, I'd really like to have that little vineyard next door, but Naboth owns it. I'll see if he'll sell it. Well, Naboth isn't going to sell it because it's part of his family heritage. And so he just is all sullen and vexed, and he's kind of whining around, you know, and he's pouting. And Jezebel's response is, are you not the king of all Israel? I'll get it for you. And of course, she has him framed, and Naboth ends up being stoned to death. But that's the type of wife she is. She's controlling, she's domineering, she's wicked, she's evil, and she's done nothing but to make her husband worse. And he wasn't good to begin with. Now, Athaliah is the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Now, understand something. Ahab had 70 sons. And because he had 70 sons, we don't even know how many daughters he had. So the question is, and the scholars go back and forth, was Jezebel the maternal mother of Athaliah, or was she the stepmother? Doesn't make a whole lot of difference. And the reason why is because it's obvious she was chosen to be the princess to marry Jehoshaphat's son, which is Jehoram, because she was the one most like Jezebel. Because the purpose is to get a princess down there who will move the politics and the policies of the South to do the bidding of the North. Because it's the North that's in trouble with the Syrians, with the Arameans. Now, today what you do when you have an agreement coming together, unifying, whether it's companies or it's nations or whatever, you sit down at a table and you write things. Now, they didn't do that back then. What you did was you had a marriage ceremony. You have a princess marry a prince, and that's how you solidify and make a contract. And so that's what happens here. You have Jehoram, Jehoshaphat, godly Jehoshaphat's son, marry evil Ahab's daughter, which is Athaliah. Now, what happens is predictable, because it's the same thing that happened with Ahab, with Jezebel. Then Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers. He was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Jehoram, his son, became king in his place. He had brothers, the sons of Jehoshaphat, and all these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, kings of Israel. Now, I left out all the names so I didn't have to read them to you. Their father gave them many gifts of silver and gold and precious things with fortified cities in Judah, but he gave the kingdom to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now, when Jehoram had taken over the kingdom of his father and made himself secure, he killed all his brothers. Where do you think he got that idea from? Well, if you look at the history of Israel, there's a lot of coups that go on up north. And so that was part and parcel of how you do politics. He killed all his brothers with the sword and some of the rulers of Israel also. He walked in the ways of the king of Israel just as the house of Ahab did, for Ahab's daughter was his wife. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. In fact, later, Athaliah will kill off rivals as well, so it's very obvious where he gets this idea to kill off all of his brothers who might possibly be a rival someday. Well, that was Athaliah's idea. Athaliah had a huge impact on him, a negative impact. She brought Baal worship. We know she's the one that brought it down because later you can read in Chronicles that they actually take things from the Lord's temple to build a place of worship for Baal worship. She's the one that introduced it down to Judah, just like her mother Jezebel introduced Baal worship into the northern kingdom of Israel. That was her influence on her husband. You know, a wife can have a huge influence on her husband. Huge amount of influence. And that's seen with Jezebel and Athaliah. Unfortunately, their influence was negative. It was very, very bad. In fact, I think influence is probably too soft of a term. I prefer the term controlling and domineering. Ahab was a weaker man. Jehoram was a weaker man. Athaliah and Jezebel were strong, ambitious women, and they ruled the roost. They controlled those homes. You know, a good mother, I think, a good mother encourages her daughter not to get into a power struggle with her husband. She lets her daughter know that what she should do is encourage her husband, her new husband, to be a leader. Men need to be leaders. The biggest problem this country have, in my opinion, is weak-kneed men. Weak-kneed men. And that's the reason oftentimes women have to step up, because the men are so weak. And what a gal needs to hear from her mother is, you know, daughter, what you need to do is you need to encourage your husband to lead. You need to encourage your husband to lead in the home. He needs to be a leader. A good wife wants her husband to lead, and she seeks to greatly encourage him to be a leader, not to dominate or control. And that's what Jezebel did, and that's what Athaliah did. I appreciate the fact that my mother was not a domineering woman who was a control freak. She wanted my dad to lead, and he did lead. And I appreciate the fact that my wife is somebody who has forever and always been somebody who has encouraged me to lead in the home. Not to be my doormat. I'll tell you what, that's not the case at all. I'd get boxed if I dared do that. She's very wise and gives great counsel, and I listen to her very carefully, but she wants me to lead, and she encourages me to lead. And by the way, that's what we found when we went through the book of Ephesians not that long ago. Ephesians chapter 5, we use it in weddings. It was laid out in black and white. That's what we saw when we went in 1 Timothy chapter 2. It laid out in black and white God's goal, his blueprint for how the family is supposed to work. And what we see here is this is a colossal case of where that blueprint is turned upside down. And you have Jezebel domineering in that home, and you have Athaliah doing the same thing to her home. Listening to Athaliah, by the way, cost Jehoram a lot. He will lose in a war. He will be killed in a war, and the reason that he was in the war is because his wife is going to prod him on because it helps the northern kingdom. He loses all of his popularity. In fact, when he dies, the text explicitly says, and no one regretted it when he died. He loses his family. Most of his sons, the Philistines attack from the west, and from the east, the Arabs attack. He loses most all of his family. He loses his health. He gets an intestinal disease, and after 8 years, he's dead. And the reason why is he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And where'd that evil come from? For Ahab's daughter was his wife. No other queen mother had so much power, had so much influence as she did. And Athaliah's advice with her and her northern cronies is going to do the same thing to her son, because the son that takes over, his name is Ahaziah. And Ahaziah will only last 1 year because of his mother. Let's just take a look and see what happens. In 2 Chronicles 22, it says this: Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. Omri was, of course, Ahab's dad. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors. See, that was the cronies from the north that she would bring with her. For they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. What destroys this young ruler? His mother destroyed him. His domineering, controlling mother destroyed him. He also walked according to their counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to wage war. And that's why in 1 year he's gone. Her advice is the type of advice that mothers should not give. You know, you need to realize, though, something. I mean, we're talking about a queen here, and this is a queen mother. The queen mother is the mother of the king that reigns. But you don't have to be a queen mother to affect your nation or to affect the leaders of this country. You don't have to be a queen mother for that. You don't have to live in the White House for that. President Eisenhower was a war hero, and he became president, of course, of the United States. He said this about his mother. His name was Ida. My sainted mother taught me a devotion to God and a love of country which have ever sustained me in my many lonely and bitter moments of decision in distant and hostile lands. And to her I yield a son's reverent thanks. Likewise, a hero of the same war, but one who never went on the battlefield, former British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, was asked by a London editor to approve a listing of his past teachers who had a huge influence on them. And he returned the list and said, "You omitted to mention the greatest of my teachers, my mother." Don't ever underestimate your role as a mother in shaping how policies go in this country, how things are going to happen in this world. Mothers have a huge, huge impact. And it can be negative. It can destroy a nation, destroy a household like Athaliah and Jezebel, or what it can do is save a nation, protect a nation, and protect the world. So Athaliah as a wife fails. And because she's a failure, because she's a loser, her husband Jehoram becomes a loser and he dies early. And because she is a terrible loser of a mother, Ahaziah will become a loser. And he will die very early and reign for a very short time. So the question becomes this: how is she going to do as a nanny? How is she going to do as a grandma? Maybe she'll mellow in age. You know, some people do mellow in age. They get older and the sourness and perhaps some of the negative things they rub off and they just sweeten as the years go by. Well, after Ahaziah dies, the predictable happens. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the royal offspring. She killed her grandchildren. Now, some of them were no doubt step-grandchildren because of the fact that a king had many wives. And when it was obvious that Jehoram had lost most of his sons in battles and war, he was trying to have as many children as he could. What Athaliah did, as soon as she saw that Ahaziah was gone, is she went and liquidated all of them. Now, what's important here to note is one word, and that is the word all. She rose and destroyed all the royal offspring. Now, when you read that, immediately your response should be, "Hold on a second. I thought God made a promise to David way back in 2 Samuel, the Davidic covenant, that there would be through his lineage a descendant who would be messianic and rule an eternal throne. In fact, let's go there real quickly. 2 Samuel chapter 7. When your days are complete and you lie down, this is God through Nathan to David, with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you who will come forth from you. And I will establish his kingdom. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne will be established forever. That's why in the New Testament, Jesus is oftentimes called the Son of David. This descendant, this messianic figure who would come from David's lineage. And that's why when you look in Matthew and you look in Luke, both of them want to start out talking about the lineage of Jesus. One traces through Joseph, one traces through Mary. And the idea is Jesus came right through David's lineage. But we just read that Athaliah killed off all the royal offspring. That creates a problem. Verse 11, it creates a problem, but verse 12 fortunately begins with a contrastive. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, who were being put to death, and placed him and his nurse in the bedroom. So they hid him from Athaliah, and he was not put to death. So he was hidden from her in the house of the Lord 6 years. That's a great place to hide that baby. Put her in the church. Athaliah's not going to go in there. 6 years while Athaliah was reigning over the land. Now here's what I don't want you to miss. She's wiping out this lineage. And you know all in heaven were watching this. She's wiping these kids out. And you're down to one, which is described in the book of Kings and Chronicles as the lamp of David, the lamp. And this lamp is flickering at this point. There's only one left, little baby Joash. God could have sent angels. He could have done some miraculous thing, but instead of doing something miraculous to save this pipeline through David, who would be Messiah, rather than a miracle, she uses a mother, a good mother. Don't miss that. God could have used a miracle. He uses a mother. And ironically, it's a little bit like Pharaoh, because Pharaoh decides to kill off all the male babies, right? And who is it that saves little Moses? It's a princess. And of all things, this is a princess, Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, sister of Ahaziah. She's a princess. And she dared to go against the will of the ruler of that time, which was Athaliah. It's amazing. God uses a godly mother. She uses a mom at the last moment to save the day. Now, by the way, we find out later that she's married to Jehoiada, who is the high priest at this time. But there's nothing said about Jehoiada being involved. We just get the impression that she on her own decides, I'm going to risk my life to save little Joash. Later we read Jehoiada, what he does is as that baby begins to grow, and once he hits 6 years of age, he feels now's the right time. She's ruining this country. And when he reaches 6 years of age, he gets together with some army commanders and says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to spot some guys at various places around the temple, and then we're going to proclaim him king. Okay? And if she comes out, if Athaliah comes out, we're going to take her down. And that's exactly what happens. When Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people in the house of the Lord. And Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of hundreds who were appointed over the army and said to them, bring her out between the ranks, and whoever follows her put to death with the sword. And she was put to death there. She finally gets her comeuppance. Here's what you don't want to miss. What a contrast. What a contrast between Athaliah and Jehosheba. Two very different ladies. Athaliah was a wickedly selfish person who was all about control and domineering of other people, and it didn't matter what it cost other people. And then you have Jehoshaphat, who selflessly is concerned about others and risks her own life for the benefit of the nation and for the benefit of a child, which rightfully Athaliah should have been most concerned about. And of course, who ends up raising this little fella? 6 years in that temple. There's probably just her and that nurse. She probably told her husband Jehoiada. There may have only been three of them that for 6 years even knew he existed. Who's spending most of the time with him? It's Jehoshaphat. She's the one teaching him. She's the one grooming him. She's the one giving him information and teaching him about the Lord. And sure enough, when he grows up, he will be the one to stop the cycle. After two evil kings in a row, he will reform the country. He's saved by his mother, and he becomes a reformer because of his mother. Not his maternal mother, but a mother who adopts him, who takes care of him, and who loves him like a mother should. You know, Athaliah, I think, probably ties her mother, Jezebel, for worst wife in the Bible. Worst wife in the Bible, those two would tie. And then you have, I think, Herodias that takes second. But you got a first way, you got a tie, Athaliah and Jezebel. But when it comes to being worst mother and worst grandmother, hands down, it's Athaliah. Worst mother in the Bible. Worst grandmother in the Bible. Now, few women will have the ability to become this awful. I mean, this is a really horrific lady. But you know what you can do? You can find yourself falling prey to what was the underlying cause for Athaliah's issues with other people and her killings and such. And that is Athaliah's desire to control. Athaliah had a thing about controlling people. She was a dominator. She was domineering. And that's something that a wife can fall prey to. That's something that a mom can fall prey to. What's interesting is you watch, she has a son that's 32, or a husband that's 32. She has a son that's 22, and she's micromanaging them and controlling them. And I tell you what, as a mother, as a wife, you want to encourage your husband to lead, not micromanage and control him. And when it comes to your children, you micromanage and control when they're little. You know, you don't do that. You stick that in your mouth, I'm going to belch you. You get out of the street. You micromanage those little kids because they'll kill themselves. Okay? But you know, when they get older, you can't do that. You'll keep those boys from ever growing up. And that's what happens here. She was keeping her boy from ever growing up. And there's a real lesson there. Jehoshaphat, it's interesting, if you read on, Jehoshaphat, she's all over the place when he's little, and then afterwards it's all Jehoiada. Because when he starts to become a man, it's time for dad to step up and do a whole lot more than when he was real tiny. Seeking to control others. That's not the way God designed it in 1 Timothy 2 or in Ephesians 5 as far as the family. In fact, neither spouse is to control each other. The husband is supposed to lovingly lead, sacrificially servant leadership. But what can easily happen is one of them becomes controlling. And oftentimes, again, as I mentioned earlier, because of weak male leadership, oftentimes the women control. We have an idiom for that, by the way. We say, well, you know what? You can tell who wears the pants in that family. Right? And that's not a good thing because that's basically a soft way of saying she's like Athaliah. Yeah. Now earlier I mentioned that if you were sitting out there and you heard the name Athaliah, you probably didn't even know what this message was going to be about. But I guarantee you there'd probably be two or three that did know. But if I had said the name Jehoshaphat, I doubt if anybody here would have a clue who I'm talking about. And yet she's the hero. She's the heroine here. She's the person you want to stand up and shout, "Way to go, Jehoshaphat!" Because what she did here was she protected history from a terrible turn. God used Jehoshaphat to protect history from a terrible turn. This is a special lady. And yet, nobody here probably knew of her name or what she had done. And let me tell you something, you moms out there and you grandmothers. You're working with your kids, and it's going to be real easy to think no one's going to pay attention, no one's going to notice. And in many cases, people won't. The only times you get notoriety today is if your kid, you know, goes into a school and starts shooting. Then all of a sudden, everybody knows who you are. You raise your kids right, you do a good job, and most people won't notice. I tell you what, I bet Joash remembered and noticed. I don't think they had Mother's Day back then, but I tell you what, I bet she got some calls and flowers and chocolates on occasion, because if not for Jehoshaphat, he would have been killed as a little bitty baby. Jehoshaphat saved his life. Jehoshaphat raised him, and as a result, he became a leader to reform the country. That's what a good mom can do. That's what good moms do. That's what godly moms do. You may not realize it, but the children you're raising right now might be children one day that make a huge impact on this country. And that's why you give it all you got. And you avoid doing anything that even smells of Athaliah. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we do thank you for all the blessings we have in Christ Jesus, and they are immense. And one of the great gifts that you have given us is moms, mothers and grandmothers. They give us a special, unique type of love and care. And we thank you especially for godly, good mothers and grandmothers who pointed us in the right direction and made sure that we knew about you and knew what you expected from us. And we thank you for Jehoshaphat, and we thank you for the risk she took to save a little boy who would reform a country. And we thank you for so many women who've raised children that have helped save our nation and save this world from all sorts of evil. We thank you and praise you and ask a special blessing on them today. In Christ's name, amen.